So, how's your Holy Week been? On Palm Sunday, Rochelle got us started off by telling us exactly what kind of Messiah our Jesus is. And I don't know about you, but I heard a good word. Monday, I did some fishing. No luck, but I got my feet wet, literally. And it did give me a chance to take a small break from this people fishing thing. Tuesday, I came home from work to find a package from my parents, a nice Easter card, and this wood inlay cross my dad made. Put that right there. Wednesday, the church council met, and it seemed appropriate to me that we met to do the work of the church during Holy Week. Thursday, I woke up to snow, and yes, I couldn't help but smile. Once again, I suspect this Mississippi boy should stop praying for snow, but it's hard. Thursday evening, along with many of you, I participated in our Maundy Thursday service of shadows via Zoom, and it was a very meaningful way for me and hopefully for all of us to begin to reflect on Good Friday. It was also nice to be indoors during the cold snap. Good Friday, I worked half a day with Zach. We're getting bikes ready for the bike sale on Saturday at Save and Serve. I got myself a recumbent bike, and I took it out on the trail on Saturday. It seemed like a good way to usher in spring. I did some power washing on Saturday, which also seemed appropriate for Holy Week, as I am in constant need of God's power washing. And on Saturday, on a more sadder note, Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin and his family and friends held a memorial for his son, Tommy Raskin, who killed himself after a long struggle with depression. And I've been hearing Tommy's words in my head, which they repeated a lot during the service: it's hard to be a human. Somehow his words and my activities on a lovely early spring day seemed to make sense for a Holy Saturday. It's the Saturday between Good Friday and Easter which represents our lives as Christians, as Holy Saturday people living in the space between the cross and the empty grave. Throughout the week, I recorded a song, I did some writing, I listened to some audio books, I did church work, I worked on the sermon, I struggled with being depressed, I had some frustrating moments, I had some joyful moments. I decided to pull back from social media. I worked outside some. I played with our dog. I worked on loving Rochelle better. I worked on loving others better. I worked on loving myself better. In other words, my Holy Week wasn't much different than any other week. All weeks are holy, if I have eyes to see. But in many ways, this past week was different. For Rochelle and I, this is our first Easter as your pastors. And throughout the week, I kept trying to figure out what God wanted me to say today in the midst of my angst and my sore head, my sore heart, my sore body. I wondered how I could get up here and be honest about my brokenness and at the same time shout, "Hallelujah, he is risen." But then I began to think that maybe that is what it means to be a Holy Saturday Christian. Lament flows into praise and back again. A night of sorrow gives way to the joy that comes in the morning. Worry surrenders to the peace that passes understanding. We live in the midst of a kingdom which is both now and not yet. We carry Good Friday's cross, and we revel in the resurrection power of Easter Sunday. So it makes sense that here on this Easter Sunday 2021, when we celebrate Christ's resurrection, we will also remember the Lord's death through communion. So how was your Holy Week? Where did you experience the suffering Christ? Where did you experience moments of joy and resurrection? Let's spend some time in silence thinking about those questions. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Easter is the highlight of the church calendar. For most churches on a typical year, pews are packed. Folks who never attend church do so on Easter. Perhaps this year will be no different. Attendance, be it virtual and in person, will jump. Then church attendance will fall back to normal, whatever the new normal is. The Anabaptist World magazine, following up on a Heston College conference in February, asked for submissions under the question, "What if they don't come back?" And such a question reflects the post-pandemic predictions, which have church membership decreasing across the board. And I don't know if you saw this, but a recent Gallup poll showed Americans' membership in houses of worship continuing to decline last year, dropping below 50% for the first time in Gallup's 8-decade trend. In 2020, 47% of Americans said they belonged to a church, synagogue, or mosque, down from 50% in 2018 and 70% in 1999. The change is primarily due to the rise in Americans with no religious preference. But what do we expect? When people look at the church, what do they see? Do they see, as Martin Luther King, who was killed on this day 53 years ago, said, that 11 a.m. on Sunday is still the most segregated time in America? Do they see a people so wedded to their belief system that they are more interested in creating barriers for people to join a church rather than be more welcoming? Do they see Christians wedded to a particular political ideology or party rather than the kingdom of Christ? Do they know we are Christians by our love, by our willingness to agree, to disagree? Or do they see a people who constantly seek out confirmatory bubbles rather than places that force them to struggle with their faith? Personally, and as a pastor, I get so overwhelmed by it that it is difficult to know even where to begin. So I'm not feeling it. I need some resurrection power, not just on Easter, but every single day of my life. Most of you know by now that I am a heavy metal kind of a guy. I like good old Christian rock, and I'm grateful for the many groups and songs that I grew up with, which have been so formative in my faith journey. On one occasion as a teenager, at a small church venue in my hometown of Meridian, Mississippi, I heard the Rob Castles Band, a Christian Southern blues rock group from the Carolinas, perform on their Off the Wall tour. One song from that album has stuck with me over the years, and as I tried to get into the spirit of this Easter, I found myself listening to it over and over again. I even tried to figure out the chord so I could sing it. I debated recording it and sharing it via video today and was actually leaning against it. Then Larry and Beth Sheets stopped by the office for a visit a week ago. Larry told me he hoped to hear it on Sunday. So here you go, Larry. This one's for you, brother. Resurrection power. I need you every hour. And ain't that the truth? In listening and learning the song, one line really stuck out to me. Resurrection power and the love of Jesus. They're one in the same. A Roman soldier may have wielded the hammer, but it was love that nailed Jesus to the cross. For God so loved the world. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And with all your mind, love your neighbor and your enemies, family, and friends as you love yourself. If this resurrection power and the love of Jesus are the same, then maybe the reason why I'm not feeling more of the resurrection power is because I still got a big old stone in front of my heart. Have I completely opened all of my heart, all of my mind, and all of my soul to the love of Christ? And if I haven't done so, what's holding me back? Perhaps our scripture text this morning can offer us some clues. The main characters in our story this morning are the other disciple, namely John, Peter, Mary Magdalene, a couple of angels, and the gardener, a.k.a. the man of the hour, our sin-busting, death-whooping, resurrected Jesus. I believe the words, actions, and interactions of each person in our story today can offer us some insight into how we can be better Holy Saturday Christians as we follow the suffering Christ, yet we are filled with the love of Jesus and God's resurrection power. Mary Magdalene appears first in our story, but she plays a larger role near the end, so I want to save our discussion of her for a little later. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen there, but he did not go in. Let's start with this other disciple, John. Throughout his gospel, John refers to himself as the beloved disciple or the one Jesus loved. Now, I don't think this means that John was loved more by Jesus. I think he just wanted to emphasize the transforming power of Christ's love. So my first question to you, beloved, are you filled with and being transformed by the love of Jesus? Would you call yourself a beloved disciple? If you note in our passage, John outruns Peter to the tomb. He's motivated. He's got energy. He's got to be the first to see the empty tomb. Then he gets there and he hesitates. He can't quite step over the threshold. So, beloved, are you outrunning your fellow disciples, or are you running alongside each other, together in tandem towards what Jesus is up to? Are you waiting on the threshold of the empty grave, not quite sure you're ready to take a taste of God's resurrection power? Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So here comes Peter. He brings up the rear, but he's got no qualms about going all the way in. That's Peter for you. Always plunging ahead without thinking about the consequences. Or John, who he brushes past to get into the tomb. Peter sees the grave clothes neatly folded, not scattered or thrown every which way as they would have been had Jesus' body been stolen. Then John enters in too. He sees the same scene, and he believes. So, beloved, have you crossed over into the power of the resurrection, but left your fellow disciple on the threshold? Or have you invited them into joining you into a relationship with the risen Christ? Our scripture text states that once John stepped inside the tomb and saw the strips of linen, he believed, even though he and Peter still did not fully understand what was happening. We do not know whether Peter believed at that moment. So, beloved, if you have indeed experienced the power of the empty tomb and do not believe, what more must Christ do in order for you to believe? Do you need a believing other disciple to step into the tomb beside you to help your unbelief? Enter Mary Magdalene. Traditionally, it has been implied that Mary of Magdala was a former prostitute, though there really is no biblical basis for that. However, she had been cured by Jesus of 7 demons and was one of his most dedicated followers, being one of the women who traveled with and provided for Jesus and his disciples. She is mentioned by all 4 Gospels as being present at Golgotha, which is significant. When Jesus' disciples fled, Mary, along with the other women followers of Jesus, stayed with him until the bitter end. So, beloved, are you a fair-weather Christian, marching triumphantly beside your King on Palm Sunday, yet fleeing when the going gets hard, your faith has been rattled, and the Savior you believed in has been killed? Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." Mary, a woman without status in her society, is honored for her faithfulness, having told the disciples who have come, seen, and have returned to their locked rooms. She ventures out again alone to try and find her Lord, convinced that his body has been stolen away. Her grief and her sense of loss are real. She experiences the rare event of seeing not one, but 2 angels. So, beloved, I ask you the same question the angels asked Mary. Why are you crying? Is there sadness within you this Easter? If so, that's okay. It indeed has been a hard year. I suspect it's been pretty tough to find Jesus in the midst of everything that has happened. Or maybe he has been with us all along and we just didn't recognize him. At this, she, Mary, turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. So, beloved, where has Jesus been present with you this year? Where have you seen resurrection in the midst of the sadness and loss of this past year? And now, if we come to the final somewhat strange passage in our story. In her excitement, Mary reaches out to touch Jesus. Mary probably embraced Jesus in a huge bear hug, and after a while, Jesus finally says, okay, you're going to need to let me go. I've got some things I got to do. Jesus says, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene then runs to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she tells them the things that Jesus told her. So, beloved, have you seen the Lord? And if so, why are you so quick to doubt his presence beside you? Are you holding on to Christ out of joy or because you don't trust Christ's promise that he will be with you always? I leave you with one final question, which I hope brings us full circle to my earlier reference, that the love of Jesus and resurrection power are one and the same. Beloved, is your Savior, your personal Jesus, this crucified Christ and risen Lord you're holding on to so tightly as a Holy Saturday Christian, accessible to everyone, or just a select group of people? I ask all of these questions because I have a suspicion that the limitation we put on the love of Jesus is directly proportional to our access to God's resurrection power in our own lives and in the lives of those God has called us to love, which in a word is everyone, no exceptions. I'd like to close with an Easter reflection I wrote in 2018. It's called, He is Risen, I Think. This is not the Easter I expected, but then is it ever? God says, surprise! I ask why instead of thank you. I drive past the ringing bells of the basilica calling the faithful to Mass, and then suddenly I am turning into the quiet zone of the hospital, called by another more subdued, less joyful summons. Sitting here with him, I wonder who I was last evening, the shouting one, racing home towards the bright full moon, angry at you, God, for pulling me back, for daring to turn my world upside down again. But that's what you are good at, O God of the unexpected. Forgive me for this big old stone I keep in front of my grave-stricken heart. Like Rob Castle sang so loudly in that church long ago, resurrection power, I need you every hour, more like every minute, every second of every single day. It is available, I think. Perhaps all you are waiting for is an acknowledgement of its necessity, my woeful inadequacy. Sitting here by the bed, quietly writing, praying amidst the beeps, creaks, snatches of nurse conversations, the sound of air blowing through the AC, I feel my heart opening up again, like the white-hot lilies on so many altars today, as he turns toward the glowing window and gently drifts off to sleep. Let us pray. Lord, make us your holy Saturday people, dwelling in the midst of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, one hand firmly in the nail-scarred hand of the suffering Messiah, and the other in the healing hand of our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.